Get ready to grab that stick of butter. We're going to talk all about good fats and other fascinating health advice today with the director of the documentary Beyond Food on Inside the Documentary right now on AfterBuzz TV.
Welcome to Popcorn Talk, featuring movie discussion, news, and interviews. Popcorn Talk, we talk movies. And now, here's Popcorn Talk's Inside the Documentary.
It's so epic.
It is. It's very epic.
Inside the Documentary. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Inside the Documentary. We are here today to talk to you about health and food and diet and all kinds of interesting, amazing things. We have a very special guest in studio, the director of the film Beyond Food, Tomas Reyes. I am your host, Blake V. You can find me on all social media at Blake V Media and follow my yoga and wellness journey at BlakeV.com. And this is my beautiful host, Allie D.
Hi, everyone. I'm Allison Dean. You can find me everywhere at The Allison Dean, and you might see some of my gardening adventures on my Instagram account.
We've got it all covered here.
My organic garden. Yeah, we're just like, yo, we have food, we have wellness. I love it.
We do.
I love it.
We do.
And?
And we have even more with our fantastic guest, Tomas Reyes. Yay!
Hey, Blake. Hey, Allison.
Hi, how are you doing?
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming.
We're so happy that you're here. We saw the documentary. It was fantastic. We have so much to talk about with you.
Sweet.
To give everybody a heads up on what it is that we're going to talk about with Beyond Food. Mainstream health advice is all over the place. You've seen everywhere ads in social media, on the news, whatever it is. Sugar's going to kill you. Don't eat any more bacon. Do this, do that. Don't do this. You know, it's all over the place. It's difficult to get a good idea of what's truly healthy and what's not. So Beyond Food is this fantastic documentary that puts into perspective all of this stuff. Tomas is the director of it. He, with some other fabulous people, put together this information, talked to a lot of health experts, specialists, doctors, athletes, to give us the scoop on what it is, what we need to focus on.
That's like the best of everything, right? So you
right?
don't have to like do all the digging yourself. Here he did. He put it all there for you. Just compiled it all, one nice little doc that you can check out and digest.
And got you. So, Tomas, we've done a little bit of research, but we want to let everybody else know, too, you've lived all over. That's influenced your life in many ways. But you sort of fell into cooking, and you were a chef as well, and that's sort of like the perfect segue into, you know, wellness and diet. How did you first find yourself in cooking and becoming a chef?
I started cooking when I was 8.
Wow.
Yeah, I grew up in Paris. I'm Colombian, but I grew up in Paris. And once a week, my mom was working at night, and I had a nanny, and her food was horrible. And I was 8, and
you
clearly...
You said enough of this!
Clearly, I cared about food,
yeah.
You know, and one day I started cooking. I was really young. And photography was also my passion at that age, and I think food, photography, and language have been very clear passions all my life. I speak 5 languages. I've lived in Brazil, in Tokyo, in New York, and now in LA.
So wait, tell us the 5 languages you speak.
I speak French, Spanish, Portuguese, Japanese, and English.
Amazing. Amazing.
Yeah. And you're like, and I'm learning Mandarin.
What do they call that? Adding it to the list.
I hope to be
a polyglot?
Mandarin.
Yes. What is that what it is?
I defer to you.
Multilingual. Okay,
yes.
Cool.
Yeah, total hybrid. You know, kind of. I studied fine arts. I did a master's degree in multimedia arts and photography in Tokyo with a Japanese government scholarship. And then I moved to New York, put on a ton of weight real fast. And I was like, okay, the portions are a little bigger than in Japan.
That American eating.
But what else is going on? I watched Food Inc. I was like, okay, this is how feedlot meat is created in the U.S. This is horrible. So from then on, I started just buying grass-fed meat and kind of changing my diet around. And then around 2012, at the end of 2012, I was doing all this research on food. And then I met with Juan, my co-director, who's also Colombian-American. He used to live here in LA. And we were like, dude, we're doing this very complimentary research. Nobody's telling this story. Let's do this.
Especially in 2012.
Yeah.
Right.
Stuff was like just barely coming out about alternative, you know, diets and lifestyles and things like that.
Yeah.
I will say though, Food Inc., that was probably one of the first documentaries that I was emphatic with people in my life to watch. It was the first one that I thought was, it's sort of like, it really hit you with the content, but you still could watch it. You know, I mean, some of these documentaries that expose different environmental sort of issues or food issues, some of them kind of go to a point where people can't watch it.
Yes. I thought Food Inc.
It affects, I mean, it's so really affecting. Hard.
Yeah.
But I thought Food Inc., it did that for me too. It definitely made me go, wait, what?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, for me, it was one of the most important documentaries on food.
Right. And like Michael Pollan for me after that.
Yeah.
Was like, I was like, Michael Pollan. Right?
Yeah,
like,
totally.
I mean, I was buying every book that he wrote. I didn't necessarily read every book. But I supported the book effort. Because I really did think his point of view on food, I thought it was simple, it was articulate, and it was, I mean, if you really just pay attention to what you're doing with your food, it's, like, not that complicated. You know, it's like, just don't trust everything in the supermarket.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, I mean, if there's something that is educational and is opening your mind to something you didn't know before, it's awesome.
Yes. Right? And a very good description of what Beyond Food does because, you know, speaking about the way food is presented to especially the American public, there's a really big, you know, production value. It's all about, like, mass quantity, less about quality. It's funny because food used to be organic, now it's like not, and you have to pay extra for it to be organic again. It's all very interesting. And Beyond Food takes us back to the basics, and it shows, you know, in each department, if you will, the specialist who kind of brings it down to like what food was and what it should be again. And I love that about the film. So when you were kind of putting that together, was that important for you?
Yeah, we thought our drive, our driving sort of intention from the beginning was to paint a picture, a more complete picture of what amazing health looks like, and to show that it's so unique to each of us, right? We want to kind of, I want to say, elevate the conversation a little bit, you know, and move it from this fear mongering and this dietary agenda pushing people to say, you know, if you'd meet, you're a bad person, or you have to become vegan, that's the only option, or you should juice. Well, those were awesome documentaries, but you can't live on juice. You can't live on green juice. Green juice is awesome, but...
Lord knows I can't.
So what do you do? What do you do after your week, you know, 1 week?
You have one green juice, and then you binge on everything you shouldn't, and you say, Potato chips. My God.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's not worked for you.
No.
Yes.
Yeah, so in doing that, we kind of quickly realized that it was also a story about personal empowerment, because your journey, it's kind of like, I want the documentary to be a piece of inspiration for people to go like, oh my God, you know, my health is mine. It's no one else's. And it's a fun adventure of discovery once you start figuring out and paying attention to your body. You know, when I eat something that makes me bloated, or the next day I wake up and I have eye bags and I feel super tired, I'm like, okay, clearly I don't need to eat that.
Not for you.
You know?
Yeah.
So.
You know what I also think, though? I think that the element of food plays into your relationships with people that you care about, because I think it's one of those things where if you're educated on the nature of the food system and you care about those around you, you would also, you know, like when I prepare food for people that come over, it's organic, it's you know, it's good stuff, right? And that's important to me. It's important for me to also extend the principles in my own health to the people that I care about. So I think it's like an opportunity to extend your health to others, you know, when you're aware of these things.
Do you feel that way in your cooking?
Totally.
Yeah?
Yeah. And to add to your story about the people we care and our family and our friends and so on. This is a good story. I was in Colombia in May for my dad's 80th birthday.
Wow.
Right? Yay.
And so whenever I go home, or whenever I go to my relatives or other friends who are not health, you know.
Ooh. Conscious.
Super conscious. Yeah. I very often will take a hit. I'll go like, you know, I'm not going to say, oh, please, you know, I don't eat this, I don't eat that, because anyway. So the first day I get home and my stepmom brings me from the supermarket, she's like, I know you love these German sausages from this like German guy in town who makes amazing German sausages. And then she brings me also like a chicken ham from the supermarket.
Oh.
And I was like, you know what? I'm going to teach you something. This is an opportunity to show you guys something that you haven't paid attention to before.
Or been shown.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't even know.
So I show her the ingredients in the sausage, and it's like, you know, pork and celery powder and salt.
Natural.
Done.
Right?
Yes.
And then I show her the chicken, and I'm like, there's 30% ground chicken. The rest is
not chicken.
Yeah, it's it's wheat starch, corn starch, and a bunch of preservatives and other stuff.
Fillers.
I'm like, so this is not chicken. You know, it's been formed into this thing and sliced, and you could call it a processed meat, but it's not meat. It's 30% meat and 70% other stuff, you know? So
you can
wanting
call
to
it
bring the conversation.
Other.
Yes.
Processed other.
It's like, you know, just to look at things for what they are.
Right.
You know, and like you were saying at the beginning, talk about quality.
It's interesting though with our parents, because I know my mom is very much, and our parents are probably not the same age, but you know, of that generation where they almost, I don't know if it's like a trust thing where they just trust the food in
yes.
the supermarket.
Yes, 100%.
But
yes.
even when I tried to say, hey mom, look at the ingredient, like it's not that, if you can't say the word,
don't
buy the thing.
Yeah.
Don't buy the thing. If you can say the word, better chances. Better
well,
chances.
You know, but until Food Inc., we all went into the supermarket.
We did.
That's true.
Trusting that every producer in the supermarket, every food available in the supermarket, it was made, you know, looking after us.
Yeah.
Right?
You know?
Not no mo.
Yeah.
Very true. Well, I have this conversation a lot with my friends because Allison and I are very, very a lot of things.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Specifically, we're very into food and sort of wellness and, you know, the paths of maintaining that wellness. And we have this conversation a lot about, you know, food, and she's got her organic garden going on. And something that I think is really interesting is, like, generationally, the shift in how people look at their food. Same thing with my parents. It's sort of like, you know, food is just food. It's, you know, sure, they may hear about, like, organic this or, you know, something else that might be better, but same thing, they'll just kind of eat whatever it is. But it's very interesting because I feel like, especially in a younger generation, there's been an influx in a lot of illness, a lot of disease, influx in obesity and diabetes, a lot of mystery illnesses happening. We don't know quite what they are. Generations before us were maybe raised initially with organic regular food until fast food or Americanized mass processed food got introduced, and now the younger generation is the first generation that was raised on all of this, all these chemicals and processed foods and stuff in America. So that's a fascinating conversation for me to see the younger generation sick now being the first ones raised on all these chemicals.
Yeah.
So that being an impetus to show everybody, you know, this is what's happening and this is how you can fix it.
Yeah. And the key point in what everything that you're saying is evolutionary theory.
Yes.
And talking about genes.
Yes.
And talking about epigenetics, which is something that not many people are aware of. But epigenetics is a branch of genetics research that focuses on how you are your genes. You come with a, you know, set of genes.
Yes.
And then, but there is also your gene expression, which is epigenetics, that can be passed down generation generation. So
which
all those illnesses
fascinating.
That this new generation is born with,
yes.
is it only what they were, you know, raised on, or is it also stuff they carry from
the environment? Well, from the,
from
their
the environment
parents,
and the food from their parents or grandparents.
I don't know, because I feel like everything was much more pure-ish.
Yes.
It's like so hard to know at this point.
I know, but it's fascinating.
It's fascinating.
And that's something I loved from this movie. We were talking before. I heard so many words I never knew, never heard of. Biohacking. I didn't know what that was.
Right.
Biocybernautics was fascinating.
Mouthful.
We even learned about sort of the factor in what you were mentioning about, like, the DNA changes and things. This chemical, I think it is oxaloacetate. Anyways, point is, it was all these things I never heard of, and it's so fascinating because it's bringing all this information.
And you said you wanted to research them and find out more about it.
Yes,
right?
That's exactly what I said.
She's like, I'm going to do a blog post on it.
I will.
Uh-huh.
I certainly will.
And she'll interview you separately.
I will. I was Googling up a storm with all this stuff. I loved it.
Awesome.
So, I mean, even like you're saying, I thought that was fascinating. This is the first time I've really heard this where you can essentially change your own DNA pattern. What your parents give you is not
permanent.
The bottom line, yeah.
Totally.
It's not permanent.
Yeah.
So when did you first hear about biohacking and learn about that you can change your own health from your
Well, it
genes?
Was through Juan. Juan Satula Beek. He was in the Bay Area. He, you know, and we went to the first ever biohacking conference that Dave Asprey put together.
I want to go to this.
Early 2013.
I'll go with you.
We're going. Pasadena.
Oh, next it's here. October, November.
Oh, we're all going.
Yeah.
Everyone biohacking
field
conference.
Field trip.
And it's fascinating because, you know, it's just geeking out on all the science that's available to upgrade, improve your nervous system. Not only food, but a bunch of like light therapy and other things.
I'm so into it.
Yeah, because, you know, food is one portion of it, but then there's a lot of other sort of bodily functions, brain functions that have a lot to do with your body and how it functions.
And health. And overall health, yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, if you're only focusing on eating healthy, you're not experiencing amazing health. You know, if you're eating super clean and healthy and all that, but inside your emotions, you're carrying all this like envy or whatever it is, you know, negative emotions, let's call them.
A lot of envy. Guilty.
Or, you know, how well you're sleeping, how you're breathing. Do you breathe mostly up into your chest or do you take deep breaths down
diaphragmatic breathing
to your belly? You know, one is a powerful sort of breath. The other is kind of like an anxious, nervous breathing. So much more, you know.
So stressful.
It's a big picture. What are your daily rituals? You know, do you wake up in the morning? The first thing you do is just like, oh, let me check my Instagram, or do you wake up and take time to like come into your body,
and meditate,
and remember, you know, who you are, what you're up to, why you're here, you know, why you're excited to wake up in the morning, and so on and so forth.
It's so true. Yeah. So true. And you touch on a little bit of that in the film as well, and it's great. I mean, one of these words that I'd never heard of is Bio-cybernaut. So we were introduced to Dr. James Hart.
Yeah.
And I loved him. Do you recall him?
Uh-huh.
Oh, he was like the Willy Wonka of bio-cybernautics.
Well, he can introduce you. He looks like, what's his name?
Gene Wilder.
Yes.
He's like his brother. Oh. Anyway, that's what I thought. That's what we thought.
I like it.
But his study of this word, I mean, he created the word, right? I think he created the term in the field of study.
Well, he has the BioCybernaut Institute.
He does. And it was so fascinating. I had to do a Google
search. How did you find him?
The awesome thing about him, through the Biohacking Conference.
Because
Dave Asprey brought, you know, all these amazing people together, and we interviewed a lot of them. The cool thing that Dr. Hart does is that he does advanced neurofeedback.
Mm.
I don't know if you're familiar with neurofeedback. But
only because I Googled it. Beyond Food.
But you learned something, right?
Yes, I did.
That's awesome. It's a process through which your brain can hear itself changing brain waves. So certain brain waves are related to different emotional states.
You know? I hear so it.
That's tripping me out right now.
Yeah. I hear it totally. When I'm reaching for the donut and it says, don't eat that donut.
Okay, so I hear that one too.
Yeah, but that voice might not be your brain. It's just your cultural judgment.
That's another thing.
That's that other person.
Lots of cultural judgment.
Get away, judgment.
Anyway, but the cool thing he did was to mix that with emotional work and releasing emotional trauma and processes of forgiveness and a bunch of things. Because he says it in the documentary, what is in the way of people getting to higher emotional states in their life is emotional trauma. So that's
which I think is very valid. I mean, I think everybody carries some level of emotional baggage from their childhood.
Who doesn't want to be every day feeling inspired, happy, loving, compassionate, you know, et cetera, et cetera. All the positive aspects of ourselves.
If only the world operated on that level.
I know.
All of us.
Well, maybe one day, right? We're learning about all this, and maybe generations from now, it's going to be a whole.
The cool thing is, there's like an explosion of gadgets and apps and things that make this available to everyone. You know, for like $100 or for.
Yes.
I did my 23andMe a couple years ago.
I was just going to ask you.
Yeah.
How was it?
And
who
it's
are
just
you?
As hybrid
How
as
are
my
you?
Life.
No, but did you do the supplementary one now that they do for your health
with your health background?
Yeah, all of it.
I mean, it'd be interesting, I think, for someone, like, especially with sort of the knowledge you have now and how you kind of have these markers for yourself.
Yeah.
I'd wonder, especially from a biohacking perspective,
if
anything changes, if you were to retest in, like, 5 years or retest again in
5 years.
Oh,
that's fascinating.
Well, the health part is more for very specific markers for weird diseases.
But I think it's gonna keep innovating is the thing. Mm. I think they're gonna keep, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Because like every time you log into the app, it's like, whoa, wait, where did that pop up?
Yeah.
Maybe 23andMe also went to the biohacking conference.
They did.
They're like, we're gonna switch this up.
Totally, but it's fascinating. Yeah. You know? Yes. And eye-opening to many people who are like, oh, I think I'm so like just one thing. And
you're not.
You realize, no, you're like, I'm like Sub-Saharan African, Middle Eastern, Italian, genetically speaking.
Yes.
Right?
Bravo!
North African, point something percent Jewish, you know, Ashkenazi Jewish. Just a big
That's
mix.
Amazing.
Native Mazel America. Tov.
Thank you.
So indeed. That's fascinating.
I need to do it.
I do too. We both do. Yes. I mean, that's the thing is like, you know.
We'll email you the results.
We'll have like a results party. Yeah. I love it. That's the thing too is, you know, I think that right now we're on the cusp of this sort of change. I mean, we're also used to being stuck in our ways in terms of like, our parents had this, so I'm going to get it. Or my market only provides this kind of food, so I'm just going to eat this. Or grab some Jack in the Box or whatever it is that's like easy for you in your life. You're stuck to that. But now we're sort of, you know, we're learning about these words. There's these conferences. There's these sciences that are really getting to the bottom of these things that allow us to make major changes in our lives. And it's fascinating. You know, not only do people not know about this, but I think it's also hard, like, to grasp, you know?
I think it might be overwhelming for
people.
Yes,
overwhelming.
Because it's
yes.
not, you know, it's something that you really have to be very aware of. You have to, it has to be integrated into.
Yeah, aware of and, like, proactive enough to, like, really do it,
to
really
care.
Learn it, to
yeah.
care.
Right.
But I think it's the right time for that, you know, to step up in our own power and just go, like,
so
you know,
true.
This is my life.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
and another
I
thing.
I can experience amazing, amazing health and this, you know, amazing states of being.
Yes.
Every day.
Another thing I think is so powerful that's like perfect for like your film and all these kinds of, you know, sciences and getting the world out there is the internet and something like Netflix. I mean, these things are available globally now. And
yes.
It's fascinating because before pre-internet, nobody knew anything. We couldn't get information to like it was so hard to spread it. Now you can Instagram somebody in Somalia, you know what I mean, and get the conversation going. It's fascinating.
WhatsApp them.
Totally. WhatsApp them. Uh-huh.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah. So I loved the variety of people that you had in the film and what they had to speak of. You know, we heard from a vegan ultra athlete. We heard from a health coach, a forager, all of these people. A compost lady. I loved her. That was fabulous. So when you were compiling who you were going to talk to and who you were going to include in the film, what was your process of thought?
That was the
tough
the
part.
Was the tough part because we had about 30 plus people that we interviewed and 12 made it to the final cut.
Is there going to be a Beyond Food 2?
Yeah.
Yay! A Beyond Food series, never ending,
totally.
Really.
Yeah. I mean, it's a fascinating subject, and it's we are like you were saying, we're kind of experiencing a scientific revolution of understanding so much more. About our biology, about our blood, our genes, evolution, about ecosystems. There are people who, you know, the norm was to have a feedlot, to have cattle, but then now there's a huge movement globally showing that actually cattle grazing and managing cattle with regenerative systems is actually good for the environment. It's good for capturing carbon from the air. You know,
isn't it shocking?
Things are just like you were saying earlier. Yes,
and we talked, or we saw rather. We didn't talk to. We saw in the film the rancher that you were talking about. What was his name again?
Glenn Elzinga and
Carol. One Gun Ranch.
No, the Alder Spring Ranch.
Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
One Gun is here in LA.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that rancher was fascinating. He was talking about he really liked him, too. And isn't it funny, right? His model of farming or ranching, rather, is to let the cows eat what they want. And for us, you know, in terms of just like, you know, America or whatever, it's like, ooh, what a crazy thought to let them eat what they want. You know, the
let them just be like the way they've been for
let them be
thousands
cows.
Of years.
Yeah, right. And everyone's like, ooh, you know, I mean, I thought that was shocking.
This
like,
really frustrates me hearing that it's not, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Because it's so logical.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But there's this
mass food,
right. Mass, you know, industrialized agricultural, like, way of thinking
it's
now.
So, it's yeah. sad.
And it's so wrong. It's so far from what it should be that now a normal thought is like, what? We saw a lot of that in this film, too, not only with just ranching and farming, but there was a gentleman who spoke. I did not get his name, but I loved what he said. And he was talking about how, you know, there's also this attack on, like, the sun now. Everything. Oh, don't be in the sun. Humans need sun.
And now we're all vitamin D deficient,
yes,
right?
We're all yeah. vitamin. We're taking supplements to replace yeah. what it is. I mean,
to replace the sun. It's a little crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It's so true. And, you know, I mean, just personally speaking, being in the sun for a day makes me feel amazing, you know? And
yeah,
so it's like.
You almost get high, you know?
You go, totally do.
Didn't spend a day on the beach. I mean, I'm super tan right now.
Yes,
I'm,
you
it's
are.
Summer,
I was just going to say,
like,
I was like, we on good this. Good job.
We
I'm
on
like,
this side
beach,
of the table,
beach,
on the other
beach,
hand.
Beach,
improvement. I need needs improvement right here.
Come stand up paddleboarding with
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Oh, jeez.
There you go.
So
to go back to your question, yeah, we did a first version of the documentary, then we did a second version, and finally we kind of
slowly whittling down
and got
like
a lot
taking
of feedback
interviews
from
out?
Friends and
okay.
and in trying to put together the most informative educational story. That's why I ended up also narrating the documentary, because I was like, okay, I need to, you know, take you a little
yeah rein
and
in
show
the
you kind of like what I understood and stuff yeah. like that. Took 3-4 months of voice lessons, because the first time I tried narrating,
oh, did you?
It was really bad.
Good job.
Well, it sounded yeah. great. You did a great job.
Thank you.
Tomas.
I have a question. So in the sense of, because of the kind of people that you were getting,
mm-hmm.
were there any challenges with that? I mean, these are some pretty, I mean, like, I wonder if Blake or I were to email some of these people if we would get a response.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, how accessible
yeah.
are these guests
well,
for the public?
It was all serendipitously perfect, you know.
Gotta love when that happens.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because we, Juan and I met. I had just read Rich Roll's Finding Ultra. He's a vegan ultra athlete, and
okay.
I found his story fascinating.
Yes.
And we decided to tell this story, and we had some savings, we had some money, but we were also. It took us a long time to finish this whole thing, because we never raised funds or anything.
Mm.
We didn't plan it much, but we had a very clear idea. So
right.
when we started emailing and calling everyone, they were like, yeah, come in.
But like emailing and calling everyone, like how are you getting these people's phone numbers?
Well, you know.
We need to know.
I mean, no, there's
well,
something to be said for that, right? Like,
one thing led to the other. So Rich Roll, through his website, I just emailed him.
Yes,
I see. And then you got a response. And
yeah.
then he's like, oh, call my friend whoever.
No, it's true. And I think that people in the health or science field,
it's
interesting.
They
want
to talk about it.
They want to spread their word.
Yes, they're all starting. Rich Roll had recently published his book. Dave Asprey was getting started with Bulletproof. I mean, Laird and Gabby, you know, they're already huge. But nonetheless, they're interested in talking about that. And they're all brave people who have challenged mainstream health advice. You know, they're being like, And they need to talk about it more and more, and to as many
That's
people
true.
As possible.
Yeah.
So they know the value of that. I'm sure.
Have any of the relationships? Like, have you stayed in touch with anyone
yeah.
specifically? All
yeah.
of them? All 30?
Not all of them. No, but you know, many of them. Yeah.
yeah. That's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, just as like mentors, maybe in sort of this new chapter of your life, kind of a thing. Because these are people that have been doing it for
right, and especially those with like the ongoing sciences, the growing of their research and stuff like that. I mean, that's fascinating. I mean, today it's fascinating, but. In 5, 10, 15 years, what's it going to be? I mean,
right.
It's very cool, this
yeah.
whole growing field.
Yeah,
yeah and I mean, like, even just speaking of Laird and Gabby, I mean, those were big people in the film, but the fact that they're so passionate about that stuff, and they are so big, so it's like your trust is immediately like, yeah, they know what they're talking about, because they live it. I mean, Laird is like
totally.
A multi, you know, award-winning surfer and all this
yeah.
and Gabby's amazing in her own right, and so it's very cool.
And they look so
like,
young,
you know.
Don't they look so young?
Yep.
I was looking at Gabby's face and I was like, damn,
Fountain
Gabby
of Youth.
She was 50.
Shocking. I would
yeah.
never even
amazing.
Think
yeah.
amazing
yeah.
follow what she does.
Well, all independent, creative, they you know, trailblazers,
right?
Of course you want to talk about what you do
yeah.
you know, at when I don't know. So one thing led to the other, and then we were here and met someone else who knew someone else. And
yeah, it's amazing.
And they all opened their doors, and they all were all like, yes, come in. And, you know, we went there for an hour, 2 hours. And
okay, I know that I shouldn't ask this, but I'm going to. Was there, like, someone that stood out as, like, a favorite for you, like, a favorite interview that you had?
Or like, the most knowledgeable, something like that.
No.
Maybe something you didn't know.
I mean, so much I didn't know.
Like, so true.
I mean, imagine if whatever you're really passionate about, you get to travel for a year and a half and interview the most amazing people in the field you're passionate about.
Yeah.
You know, you clearly learn something, you know, mind expanding journey.
How has that affected your cooking, though, too? In the
sense it totally changed because I thought, you know, I thought I knew. I thought I knew food, you know? I always cooked, and my friends and family, everybody knew, you know, Tomas's food, whatever. But then shooting the documentary, the focus on quality, on what to cook and what causes the most inflammation, you know, and I keep on learning all the time. I just recently read a new book by Dr. Stephen Gundry, who's here in California. He just wrote a book called The Plant Paradox. Fascinating.
Mm.
About things I didn't know and no one was talking about back then when we were shooting. Yeah. You know? So, you know, I'm like a learning machine. I'm also very interested in learning more and more and more about all these things.
Did you have any, like, I know that a lot of the people in the film spoke about their own health issues that maybe propelled them towards this sort of thing. I know that, like, for me and a little bit of Allison, too, like, we've sort of experienced health things that have pushed us more into the wellness field.
Yeah.
Did you?
Absolutely, yeah, of course. Yeah, the first one when I was a teenager was sodas. I would always be so bloated. I'd be like, okay. And so I gave up drinking sodas when I was like 18 or 19. Then in my early 20s, bread and too many carbs made me feel really crappy.
Mm.
Even though I was in my early 20s and, you know.
You should be feeling amazing.
And I was like, Dad, how come you can eat all this bread and I can't, you know?
Yeah.
I was so jealous. Talking about jealousy. Talking about envy.
Well, and isn't that fascinating?
Talk
to me about carb envy. True. But isn't that fascinating, too? I mean, that's sort of also a thread that was, you know, woven into the film, is that everybody is different. I mean, one person who's vegan maybe doesn't work for this guy. This other person who eats, you know, 50 pounds of meat every day may not be great for this other person. So, you know, that's fascinating too. And I think the main thing that we came away from, at least I came away from, is to experiment on yourself.
You have to.
Yeah.
I feel like because you can't just like assume, like for instance, like the blood type or eat right for your type, right? And it's like, you know,
Maybe.
Right?
Yeah, you kind of have to. You know, right. And that's the best. If you can change from a belief system, which is like someone telling you to believe what they're selling you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, to a more scientific approach, which is experience and observe. Mm-hmm. You know?
Trial and error.
Yeah. And then you understand this, you know, thing, this living system that your body is.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, by trial and error.
I agree.
And someone said something interesting too in the film. Basically, especially in America, I'll just say, we're raised this certain way where we're eating these certain things, doing these certain things. And if you don't have any health problems, you think it's fine. You think, sure, let me just keep doing what I'm doing because it seems fine. You're living on this level, but until you experience living on this level, you don't know any different.
Or something happens to you where you're forced how can I
get back to that level or whatever, a health issue or something.
Yeah, like
so,
you might have a chronic, very mild levels of inflammation that you've been used to because you're like, you know.
You don't know any different.
You don't know any different, exactly. Yeah. And all of a sudden, like one day, you feel light, you feel powerful, full of energy. Your brain is on. You have this mental clarity. Focusing is easier.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, okay, I like this. Yes. Even Glenn, the grass-fed beef ranch.
Yes.
He says when he, in his 40s, that he experienced the ability not only to have trouble processing food, but also thoughts.
Yes. You know?
And that when he started changing his diet, his just brain came back on, you know?
Yeah.
I believe it.
Oh, I totally believe it. It's fascinating. And then another interesting thing, too, which I've just kind of observed in general, is that things change as you age too. I mean, something that was great for you when you were 12 is not going to be the same for you when you're 40, you know? Mm-hmm. Just even your taste buds, mm-hmm. your digestion, like things change.
You're not the same person. You're constantly changing.
Constantly changing, yes. Yeah. And I think that people are so stuck in like, when I was a kid, I could eat whatever. But things change. So, I mean, Glenn is a great example of that because he's like, when I hit 40, suddenly everything was different. And it's true, like being aware of these age-induced changes, for better or worse, you know, just knowing that that happens, identifying what's going on, and, you know, being willing to experiment with other things.
Yeah. Well, I'm so glad you guys kind of like got so inspired and psyched by the documentary. Excited.
The minute we saw that... You know, we got the email from Rob. I was like, Blake, we got to do this.
We love this stuff. This is like totally our forte. We love it.
And like, we seriously want like the secret emails from you when you start discovering like new things. Like, hey guys, research a little bit on this. Like, encourage you. You know, we can have a secret Slack channel or something between the three of us, or you know, like, or like a WhatsApp, whatever. We can do like a group thing. Like, hey guys,
on Instagram, I'm always posting all these books and you
know. Oh, I love that.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's fascinating.
It is. It really is. And I encourage everyone out there.
Yes. Another lady who touched my heart I want to just talk about for a little bit was the compost lady, Linda Gibbs.
Yeah, Linda's
okay.
I love this reaction.
She was kooky and lovely all in one wonderful package. Like, I would want to hang out with her every day.
Oh, he can hook you up.
She was talking about composting, which composting I feel like I've heard about, you know, for years, but I've never really, like... known what goes into it. What is it really?
It's what scary is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, it is intense.
I'm doing it. I mean, I'm not doing it. TJ's doing
this
it.
But the compost lady.
But I literally, when he opened it up, I was like, and no, I will be leaving.
Well,
thank you.
Can have someone else do it.
Yes.
But you can
reap the benefits of it. Indeed.
But you can, you know, just take all your organic stuff that's left over and instead of throwing it in the trash,
donate it to the compost
people.
Donate
it to the soil, or donate it to the compost.
Totally.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating the way she broke it down. I mean, she was showing like the layers of the biodynamics, she called it, and it was these layers of different ingredients, if you will, different things that produce carbon, different things that produce nitrogen, whatever it is that combines to create this compost pile. And it was fascinating. And she was talking about it, and she was so passionate about it. I never imagined a human would be so passionate about compost.
Oh, you need to also watch John Kohler on YouTube, Growing Your Greens. He has a whole, like, I watched like an hour of compost, like comparing compost bins, and I was like, oh, senor, you are very impressive. What I thought.
But these people love it.
Yeah.
They love it, and that's inspiring. Like, regardless of the knowledge you're really taking in, these people love it so much, you're like, wow,
it inspires you to see, to see
well,
that.
It touches also on a point that's really important, and it's the whole cycle.
Yes, right? That's specifically what I love.
Because today we don't talk about death, we don't talk about feces, we don't talk about, you know.
It's so taboo.
Plastic.
Yeah.
When in...
True.
When, you know, the planet just works on a system based on that. You know, there is life that sprouts and it dies, and the ground eats it. You know,
it's all a cycle.
Recycles it, breaks it down into like all the minerals, et cetera, and creates new life.
Right.
You know,
but, and she loves composting on a full moon.
Yes.
Oh no! Yeah, there's gardening
because
in
the moon cycle.
Yes.
I loved that.
Yes.
The second she said that, I was like, I like you, Linda.
Yes.
Yeah.
She likes you too, Blake. She doesn't
know
you
she
yet,
does.
But she likes
She'll
you too.
She'll know me soon.
She does.
Me and my love.
Uh-huh.
It was just great. Like, I mean, we're just kind of touching on a few of the things, the different people that gave their opinions. I wanted to show this at the beginning when we started, and I was so enthralled in speaking that I didn't get a chance to. I'd love to take a moment now and show the trailer. Josh, if you're still there. Excellent. We'll show everyone the trailer really quick and jump back into it.
Beyond Food is a picture of what extraordinary health looks like today and all the possibilities that are available to people like you and me who really want to experience maximum health. Hacking your biology, refining your food options, the things you do every day, the emotions you nurture, the choices you make, the affordable transformative technologies that are available on our smartphones, and how today's science comes together with ancient methods of regulating your nervous system, like breathing. We traveled all over the U.S. on a mission to interview a group of extraordinary people, brave pioneers challenging mainstream health advice, and sat with them for in-depth interviews. We personally knew this journey would change us, but we never imagined the degree to which our lives would improve. We are grateful for this knowledge, tools, and this group of amazing humans for opening their doors to us. This movie is for you so that you can bring all this into your life.
Beyond Food, everybody.
Okay, so nice. In the beginning, you show cucamelons, which growing. And I didn't That's really know what I was getting myself into when I started growing them, because in my mind, I thought that they were going to be like the size of a normal cucumber, but with the flavor of some lime injected.
No.
And then when they started growing and then I YouTubed what they actually were, I was like, oh, damn, I'm supposed to be harvesting them already.
Oh, you were waiting because you're like, no, they're going to grow a little more.
Allison has been going through this amazing organic gardening journey, and she's like, she's learning all of it, like what different plants call for and what the harvesting of it is, the watering, the sunlight.
It's a nightmare.
It's a nightmare. I have so much respect for people who grow food. If people knew how hard it is to grow good food with good soil and the dedication requires.
Different level of respect for the things you see in the supermarket, for sure. Oh, absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, now, and especially because I live in the valley of LA, which is, it's hot. It's very hot. So I've now even learned, would I start the growing season for myself when I did? No, I would not. Because growing in the summer here, I mean, even things that thrive in heat.
Too much.
It's too much heat. Yeah. So it's just, it's definitely interesting, and I've certainly learned a lot. But yeah, it requires a whole lot of time.
Yeah.
And speaking of growing, it's interesting too, because I feel like various people that I've come in contact with, friends or friends of family or whatever, people are going to school for farming now.
Thank God.
That's awesome.
And it sounds like such a bizarre thing, right? It's like, I mean, we're so used to like corporate, you know, whatever, work, 9 to 5, all of this. And no, like people are now, young people especially, are like, no, what is this offering me? Nothing. Let me figure out this earth and how to work with it. And they're going to school for farming. And it's fantastic. It's like a whole shift.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I applaud those people.
Yeah, totally.
Thank you.
Yes. Another message I feel like I recall from the film, too, is Laird Hamilton. He said that he asks his kids, what's your most valuable vehicle? And they were like, a car, a boat, whatever. And he's like, no, your most valuable vehicle is your body.
Yeah.
And it's so true. Awesome. It's so true. I mean, really, like, just bringing your focus back to your body is, like, a huge main message of this. And how are you hoping that people take that message or any message from the film when they watch this?
It's such a good question. Such a big question.
Yeah.
I mean, at all levels, I think being in your body is one of them. You know, like just connecting to your, just as an experiment. I hope that people kind of like the way we did it. We're like, okay, let's not discriminate. Let's remove judgment from this equation. And just curiously go and listen to these people. How did that change us? Completely, right?
Yeah.
Because we discovered so many things. So if someone has never done yoga or has never done any mindfulness practice or any meditation or anything, just like one of my favorite Buddhist teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh, he says, if it's really hard, just like sit down and take a breath and just say in your mind, I know I'm breathing in. And then I'm breathing out. And then it just brings your focus to what you're doing.
So true.
And it occupies your mind with a sentence. You know, I'm breathing in, I'm breathing out.
Yeah, your mantra.
Just that. But being in your senses, you know, experiencing your body, playing sports, or to me, you know, I love sport just because it's fun, you know?
Yeah.
And at the same time, you're in your body, you're exposed to the elements, you know.
And you want to perform at peak. Yeah, you know, totally. Abilities.
Yeah, I mean, I love playing volleyball. I love playing volleyball on the beach. And in the summer, if, you know, I'm not going to go, you know, eat some crappy food the night before or drinking or all that, because what am I going to do? I mean,
yeah.
I hope that, you know, if you could connect to what you love and what makes you feel so alive on a daily basis and just get more of it, create more of it. If that means being in your body, or if that means reading more, or learning more, or trying little things. Like, there's a cool app developed by this company, and it's called Inner Balance. Mm. And you can just plug a little sensor, you put it on your ear, and you can train through breathing and following this visual prompt. You can train your heart rate coherence.
That's fascinating.
That's fascinating. It's so easy. And you can do it five minutes a day, you know, and instead of the 5 minutes you're going to spend on
Instagram
or Facebook, you could just train your breathing and your heart rate coherence through this simple app.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Things like that. It's just like simple things. But there's many of them.
Yes. You know?
It's not just eat well, or it's not just, you know, do a lot of sport. It's, it's a more holistic thing. It's a more layered and rich. It's rich.
Did you read The Oxygen Advantage? Is that a book you've read? Oh, no. Okay. Okay. We'll talk about that after.
Yes.
I got a whole list of books for you.
Yes. Well, I mean, I fully loved this movie. I agree with a lot of the points that everyone's bringing up. I love the people that you put together for it. I agree.
We want version two.
We want version two already. I agree that, like, little changes in your life change everything. I am a yoga teacher. That's something that has changed things drastically for me, and I'm very grateful and interested in, and it's wonderful. I mean, I'm sure that Allison can agree and has a lot of her own experiences too.
No, I mean, I think yeah. Health and wellness and all of it being, it's very multidimensional. And so I appreciate you for making something like this, because I think more and more things like this need to be brought into the world. And, you know, however people can find it, I hope they do, because it's a conversation that more people need to have and be aware of, especially given sort of, you know, where we're at in the world today with the number of people in the world and just how the behavior of people in the world. I think things like this are that much more important.
Yay!
Thanks so much, guys. I'm so excited.
You're so welcome, Tomas.
So much.
We loved it. That's why you're here. This is excellent. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and watching this very special Inside the Documentary with Tomas Reyes from Beyond Food.
Where can they find you on Instagram, Facebook, wherever? Say our handles.
So beyondfoodthemovie.com.
Okay.
That's our website. My Instagram is Tomas Reyes Varela, V-A-R-E-L-A.
Okay.
Our Instagram is Beyond Food the Movie. You can also find us on Twitter as Beyond Food Movie, because Twitter makes your handles short, whatever.
They do that. But do it. Go follow Tomas.
Yeah, we have experience with this. Yeah.
Yes,
we go do. Go follow Tomas.
Follow him. Watch the movie Beyond Food. It's fantastic. It's going to be a well-used time.
Yeah, well-used time.
Well-used of your time.
Yeah, yeah.
Definitely. Thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in. I have been your host, Blake V. You can find me on all social media at Blake V Media. And visit the blog at BlakeV.com for yoga and wellness.
Absolutely. I'm Allison Dean. You can find me everywhere at The Allison Dean. Stay healthy, everyone.
Yes. See you guys next time.
Here's Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire Popcorn Talk Network. We would like to thank you for tuning in. For questions or comments, be sure to visit PopcornTalk.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of the Popcorn Talk Network.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Popcorn Talk Network or its owners or principals.